You know, something came to my attention this week, too. We were meeting with someone. And, you know, sometimes I'm up here and I say things and I'm on to the next, in my mind, I'm on to the next sentence and I never really finish the sentence I'm talking about sometimes. So not wrong, but clarification here. Where I talked about sickness or disease and so forth being the result of your sin. And that's not entirely right. I mean, all sickness. There was no sickness or disease in the earth until sin came in. So sometimes it is. I mean, if you're going to drink and drink and drink and you get liver disease, guess what? Right. All right? Or if you smoke 5-pack cigarettes a day and get lung cancer or emphysema or something like that, then it's self-induced problems. You know, you're sinning against your body when you're not taking... But sometimes, hey, it's maybe chemicals that are in the food supply, whatever. Release your faith in that food. I'm telling you. Hey, you know, this earth is worn out, and the same nutrients aren't in the vegetables anymore. I mean, they try and so forth, but with this organic stuff, but it's just not like it was. So there's a lot of reasons, and it may just be the backlash of a fallen world. We live in a fallen world, folks. And it might be the backlash of that. So really, no condemnation in that. But you can always go to God, even if you did sin. You can go to God. Even if you've been victimized or something, if something is, you know, you can go to God. He never condemns. He'll take you. He's your Father. He loves you. Amen. So don't be condemned in that. And if you hear something wrong, come to me and say, hey, you know, that didn't sit right with me. Is there more explanation on that I can get? But don't sit there and be condemned, because don't let your mistakes condemn you. God already paid for them. Amen. Amen. Enough said. Well, we are in our series of being led by the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that you can be led by the Holy Spirit? Amen. You know, I was saved for many, many, many years before I really realized, and somebody really told me that I was a spirit and that I could be led by the Spirit of God through the witness of the Holy Spirit. You can be led by a lot of things in this life. You can be led by money. Yeah. That's like the power of this world is money. It's a pretty elusive God, too. That's why they're always want more. You can be led by needs. You know, we needed more space for our children's ministry ever since we moved in here, really. And the offices behind us where we have the children now, they opened up. We had the need, but... We didn't have the peace about it. The price, everything was not something that we felt the Lord leading us to. Then the landlord came back, and he offered that for half the price, about 3 months later, and the Lord said, "Go ahead, with the peace to do it," and we did it, and now we have the jam rooms, Jesus and Me, the kids ministry, and we have a children's director that is. Spot on. And those kids are learning stuff. They're learning faith. They're learning love. They're learning things that are good. Yes. Amen. So don't be led by needs. You may need something, but that doesn't mean it's time to do anything about it. Don't be led. Be led by the Spirit. We can be led by opportunities that come up. Just make sure it's God. Get yourself in an opportunity for a new job that opens up. Well, let's look at it a little bit. Let's seek the Lord. Just don't make decisions out of your head without getting His counsel. You don't know what's in there. People get this promotion to a manager job somewhere else and they take that opportunity and find out it's spinning them around their finger and they have no church life, no social life, no family life left, and boom, it's, you know, they're led by opportunities. And then they get in trouble and say, well, and the Lord says, you going to follow Me next time? Because He leads us into green pastures, right? Still waters. You can be led by your emotions. led by statistics. Statistics say you can be led by what people are saying. You can be led by current trends, fads, and things like that. You can be led. And then you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. What have you done there? You just put strife right into your life. You can be led by desires. I want that. Well, have you checked with the Lord about that? Maybe that having that thing will bring other things with it into your life that are, you know, you shouldn't have. Don't be led by, maybe you should just cool your jets and see what the God, and see what the Lord says about that. What is his counsel on that? You can be led by pressures. I want to take time with this. Be led by pressure. You know how many men are in pressure situations and jobs? Or pressure situations with their monthly expenses? Pressure, 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 and they'll do anything to get out of that pressure. That's when you need to just say, okay, Lord, let me be led by your Spirit. You can be led by loneliness. You can be led by experiences. Let your past experience. I know what works. This is what Peter said to the Lord. He said, we fished all night. Don't tell me my business. We caught absolutely nothing. And then Jesus went. And then he said, nevertheless, it's your word. No. I'll drop it down. So be led by the Spirit. Don't be led by your past experience. Don't be led by the media. Even if they were telling the truth, they can only tell you what has happened. You have somebody on the inside of you who can tell you what will happen. He'll show you things to come. Amen? Don't be led by rumors, suspicion. Don't be led by cost or price. How many of you know that the cheapest thing is not always the cheapest? You may save $300 on that refrigerator. Oh, it's got to be God. But 6 months later, you got a repairman coming in, and there's the other $300. And the other one lasts you 10 years longer because you were led by the Lord to buy the right one. We went into, when we were buying a new, what was it, a washing machine? Yeah, a washing machine. And for some reason, this guy kept on pointing to this other one, and I just didn't have a piece. I said, I want that one. He said, so he started, and finally I had to bring him back. I went, that one. That one. And it wasn't cheaper. So don't be led by cost or price. You can be led by horoscopes and cultish things like that. You know? Zodiac. And all that. Just let me say this. If you're led by any of those things, you're not being led by the Spirit. Just take them off the table, take them out of your mind, take them out of your life, brush it off, say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Amen. Lead me. Lead me. Amen? He didn't send you horoscopes to teach you. He didn't send you experiences to teach you. He didn't send you anything like that. He sent his Holy Spirit to be your teacher, to be your comforter, to be your encourager. To be the revealer of truth to us, to show you the future, and to unfold it for you. Amen? Okay. I'm going to drive some of this home because the deception is getting really thick. And I see churches dropping out of these messages by the... They're either going all the way over into extravagant grace, or it's all legalism and stuff. The deception is getting pretty gross out there. And Jesus said, these are the times that... deception is going to get waxed so gross, he said, that even the elect could be deceived. So we got to watch it. We got to hammer down to these things and just know that, look, we have a God who will lead us. Don't be deceived and think he won't lead us. But he won't lead you according to your thinking or your priorities unless your priorities are his. The more you get in the Word, and the more you let your mind be renewed with the Word and his priorities, his values, the more you'll be walking in line with him, and the clearer you will hear the Holy Spirit. Yes. And you will be in the right place at the right time. You know, being led by price. I mean, how many people do you know that will go 5 miles out of their way just to save a nickel at the gas pump? No. And now that's at a premium. That didn't take long either, did it? And then what happens is there somebody went through a stoplight and hit them, and now they got all kinds of medical, because they wanted to save a nickel in the pump and go out of their way. Be led by the Lord. Don't be led by price, cost, money, things like that. If there's ever a time that we need to know the voice of the Holy Spirit and to be operating in the gifts of the Spirit, the discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and these things, to tongues and interpretation, so that you can not out of your spirit exactly and get your mind straightened out with the word of God, it's now. We need the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. He is a present help in the time of need. And I'll tell you something, he moves faster than the speed of light. And when you want him there in that moment, he'll be there in that moment, because he was there before you even got there.
Amen.
Before the light even shined or the darkness even came, he was there.
Amen.
He is your helper, present help in the time of need. Amen. Oh, we got to get serious about this. God is serious about this.
Amen.
He paid for the right to be there at that time.
Praise
with
God.
You. Yes. Everybody say, he's my helper. He's a present help in the time of need. Amen. Peace, let's do some review here. Peace is a powerful spiritual force. Jesus walked in it. He demonstrated in his life. It's also a force that the devil has no defense for. He cannot stop peace from ruining his deal. He can't stop it. There's nothing that ticks the devil off more than when trouble is all around you and you're just, There is nothing that drives him to distraction more than you having peace. He will do anything to stop peace from operating in your life. He will do anything to stop you from knowing about peace, from having it live in you, from being released in you. Because once you find out, even if you back into it, just incidentally, once you taste of it, you're going to know its power. And that peace will be a guide to you. And it'll prevent you from making his mistakes. And it'll prevent you from stepping into his traps. He doesn't want you to know anything about peace. That's why he's reinvented the definition of peace over the years. Western culture has no idea what shalom means. Shalom. Shalom is a person. Shalom is God.
Amen.
He called himself Jehovah Shalom in Judges chapter 6. When Gideon came, he says, Gideon, you will not die. You'll fight for me. Peace to you, Gideon. Gideon built an altar and it's called a Jehovah Shalom, because that's how he knows God, the God of all peace. It is, the definition of shalom is completeness, wholeness. Nothing is missing or broken or deficient in any way. It means to be filled to the full, to be satiated with his peace, with his presence, and where there are residual benefits, overflowing benefits of peace. It's powerful stuff. In the New Testament, that word shalom is translated irene. It's the same meaning. It's the completeness, and Jesus called it my peace. So let's go back and review John 14 again. But as we do, just remember, when we open the Word of God, we are opening the instrument that God uses to create everything, to recreate your human spirit, to recreate. God doesn't move apart from his word. His word is him, and his word is filled with peace. This is what the Lord is saying to you right now. His word is peace. Let his word of peace rule your heart. Let it be the governor. Let it be the umpire of your heart. This is what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Wake up! It's in you. The peace of God, he is in you. His spirit is the spirit of peace. Hallelujah. I don't like to take anybody off guard, but that's tongues and interpretations as a gift of the Spirit. And if you want to speak in tongues, if you've never spoken in tongues, it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Yeah. Oh, big time. Big time. You know, I used to come away from prayer feeling like, did I really connect? You ever been there? If there's a question, whether you heard God, whether God heard your prayer or not, if there's a question, then you didn't do it in faith. Yes. There is a completeness that's missing, and the Spirit of peace needs to complete that in you, and you really need to connect. It's not praying out of your head. God has nothing against your head. He created your head. He created the mind, right? But he needs your mind to be subservient to the truth that is in your spirit, to follow that peace that's in your heart. Amen? Oh, praise God. So John, well, let's declare this together. We got that? Amen. Isn't the word of God good? Let's say it together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So Jesus is speaking. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. You know, if his... Jesus is... We talked about this in men's fellowship yesterday morning too. Is that Jesus is called the seed of Abraham. You know what seeds do? When they're planted, they reproduce after their own kind. Just let that sit. Let that hover. Oh. Jesus said this in John 14, 27. He said, peace, Irene, shalom, I leave with you. This is literally hours before he was going to be arrested, going through all those kangaroo courts, false accusations and everything, because they couldn't charge him with anything legitimate. They had to make stuff up. So they did. And then they found him guilty because they were just working towards the verdict that they'd already decided anyhow. You see that going on today? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And he's in total peace, overflowing peace. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Well, Jesus said, my peace I give to you. You know, you can't give anything you don't have. And Jesus had it in abundance, to the full. He was chock full of peace. Remember that coffee, chock full of nuts? Well, he was chock full of peace. And he got it from the Father. And you know what? He gave you his peace. He gives it to you. He gives it. It's overflowing. He can give you all of his peace. And the lights won't even blink in heaven. He can give it all to you. Amen. Amen. Oh. He said, my peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Everybody says, he gave me his peace. The situations I face this week, I have his peace working in me. I subdue those situations. I subdue those troubles and place them under the dominion of peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Pray. He says, my peace I give to you. And he doesn't give the way the world does he? What does he mean by that? Well, have you ever been in a class or something and you said to somebody, can I borrow a pen? Here, take it. And they hold on to it. And you say, excuse me, could I have the pen? And do you have something to say to me? Oh, thank you. Isn't that ugly? That is an ugly spirit. God doesn't work that way. He doesn't give that way. He doesn't expect. Now, if people are not as thankful as they should be, you know, it's not going to bother him. He is totally complete in himself. And he's not going to fall out of his throne just because somebody wasn't thankful. Do you understand? He is generous. He is overflowing. He can't wait to give and provide and to nurture. That's his spirit. He loves you and he loves to give. He's a generous person. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says that. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally, generously, without reproach. If you thank him, usually it's like after you give the pen back to the guy or the lady, and you say, oh, thank you, I appreciate that. But some people won't give you that chance. They got to put themselves in that position. But that's ugly. That's demanding, and God is not like that. He gives without reproach. He said, my peace I give to you. And then what else did he say? John 14:27, he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now we know this is the answer to the question of why he gave us his peace in the first place. So that we could rule our heart with that peace and not let it be troubled and not let it be afraid. The biggest enemy of peace, God's peace, is fear. And we're in the middle of this. We can either believe God and receive his peace, or we can forfeit from that and not receive his peace and receive fear instead. See, you're going to be led by something. That's why you create. You cannot be in a place where you're not believing something. You're either believing the truth or the lie. We were made with a believer. Your believer is always working. It's the way we are. If you're not believing God for his provisions, if you're not have faith in God, then you have faith in the enemy. If a snake crawled in here, a cobra came right in here, you could fear the snake because he's going to harm you. You could fear this problem or this lack because you could suffer lack or need or want or damage. Is there anything in your life that you're afraid of damaging you, harming you? What do you do? Take the peace that Jesus gave you and rule your heart first. Amen. And don't let the trouble in. Don't let the fear in. It's one thing to be afraid, but it's another thing to be in fear. And I'm sure Paul was in several situations where he was shaking in his boots, but he wasn't going to fear. Because he knew him in whom he had believed. Paul, he was a little guy, but he was bigger than anything they could do to him. They even killed him, and he just walked anyways. He went back into town and picked up where he left off. Oh, hallelujah. That's peace working. That's peace working. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If your heart is troubled, who let it be? Did God let your heart be troubled? Is he trying to teach you something? No. If your heart is troubled, who let it be troubled? You did. I did. Self-inflicted incarceration. Wasn't that? That was a good word. It didn't come from me. It came from the Holy Spirit that day. Self-inflicted willful incarceration. That's what it was. You got peace this morning? Yes. Are you getting there? Is it kind of getting there, building up in you? peace. This is the help. This is how he helps us. This is the helper at work. Amen. God is good. Just the aroma of the presence of God is so beautiful.
Hallelujah.
So beautiful.
Praise God.
If your heart is troubled, you let it be. You know, that may not really sound like good news to some of you, but really it is. Because if you're the one who let the trouble in, then you're the one who can let it out. If you invite, you let it in, you can throw it out. You can take the peace of God that Jesus gave you. My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. To rule over your heart with the words of peace. Start speaking words of peace. Meditate on scriptures of peace. Let the peace of God rule your heart. Let the peace of God. Go through the New Testament and just words of peace. Peace, peace, peace. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he did, too. The disciples and Jesus were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And suddenly there was a great storm. That word great is the word mega. This was a mega storm. Mega! It was, you talk about water spouts, you talk about wind blowing, and that boat was going to sink because it was filling with water. Jesus was asleep on a pillow. The thing is filling with water. They're going down. And what did the disciples do? They let the trouble in. They were in agreement with the trouble. Here's what's going on spiritually. You got to understand what goes on in your heart, not what goes on out here. What's in your heart? What's taking place? Are you letting that trouble in? The trouble that was filling their boat, the water was the trouble that was filling their heart. Then they woke up, Jesus said, don't you care? Like he really didn't care. Don't you care that we're going to die? And he got up and rebuked the wind and said, peace, be still. And a great calm, mega calm, the same thing. You have a force inside of you called the peace of God. And it cannot be outmatched. And it can't be overpowered. It's called the peace of God. And it's released through words. When Jesus spoke to that, what did Jesus do? Did he let the trouble in? What did he spoke? What did he speak? He spoke what was in his heart. What was in his heart? Who is he? He's Jehovah Shalom, manifest in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. He is releasing the power of peace against that storm. And the storm immediately, he got it at the root and diffused it like that. His words were like a giant tablecloth coming and wrapping that thing up and throwing it away. And then he looked at them and said, what's the problem? Where's your faith? What was he implying? That they could have done this. Why is this in the Bible? To give us a picture of who we are in Christ, amen. What we have in Christ, amen. What we can do in Christ. This is where the Bible becomes real. This is where the Holy Spirit becomes real, that he is our advocate, that he is everything he said he is. He will show us things to come. He will strengthen us when we're weak. He'll release his peace in our heart to overcome the trouble and to guard our heart from being troubled. I mean, it's not that you're not going to, just because you have this doesn't mean you're not going to have any trouble. You're not going to face any opposition. It doesn't mean you're not going to get sick. It doesn't mean that, you know, stop looking at what's happening out here in your house or out here outside of your house through these windows. Stop looking at the outside. Don't get your information from them. Your information, all that you need is right inside of you. When you download the word of God, the word of peace inside of your heart, and it is incorruptible seed, and it starts rooting itself, and it starts reproducing his fruit of peace in your heart. Paul called the peace of God a fruit of the Spirit. Now, here's a little lesson. And I learned this from a man who had several conversations with the head of the church. And his name is Kenneth Hagin. He's my spiritual father. He's my father in the faith. Put it that way. Praise you, Jesus. I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this. In Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? And they capitalize Spirit as Holy Spirit. And it's true. These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, mercy, self-control, faithfulness. Things like that. Those are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said this: I am the vine, you are the branches. Where does the fruit grow? On the branches, right? This, the fruit of the Spirit, has been birthed in you through the new birth. And those are the fruit of the recreated human spirit, because that's where the fruit grows, on the branches. Amen? Don't tell me you don't have the peace of God in your heart. If you are born again, the peace of God is in your heart. Does it need to be cultivated? Does it need to be watered? Does it need to be exercised? Your human spirit does not mature and grow according to the passing of time like your body does. Your spirit grows and matures and gets strengthened by what you put into it through your eyes, your ears, and what you speak. Amen. And how you exercise it. Amen. Exercise it. What you put into it and how you exercise it. That's why James says, be doers of the word, yes, and not hearers only. Because you're only getting half the job done. And you got a lot of information floating around in your head thinking you're okay just because you heard it. No, you got to do it. Amen. You got to do it. Amen. 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 It says forgive. Oh, yeah, that's a good word. Well, what are you doing with it? Well, you don't know what they did to me. I don't have to know. All I know is the Bible says forgive if you have aught against any, that your heavenly Father might forgive you your trespasses. That puts us all in the same boat. Amen. If you're in a storm, what's bothering you today? What's troubling your heart today? What are you speaking? Are you letting that trouble into your heart and multiplying it? Or are you speaking the words of God, the words of peace against that, and say, no, you're not coming in here. You have no legal right in my mind. You have no legal right in my body. You have no legal right in my emotions. You have no legal right to rule me. The peace of God rules my heart. And start speaking it and speaking it and speaking it. I remember when I tore the cartilage in my knee, it took 6.5 weeks. I was speaking to that knee, speaking to it, going through all those confessions in the Charles Capps book. Charles Capps, I love, I'm going to see him again. And he'll be there, just rejoicing in the fruit and the harvest that is still coming in for him. Kenneth Hagin, Billy Graham, great men of God who are just receiving harvest after harvest after harvest because their ministry in the earth is fruit that remains. Yes. Because they walked in the peace of God, the power of God. They knew how to release the God because they got it from the Word of God, which is God.
Amen.
Oof. You getting goosebumps?
Yes, Pastor.
So if you're in trouble, just remember. Remember. He'll bring to remembrance whatever he said. Remember. You see, the rememberer is the Holy Spirit. And he'll cause you to remember what Jesus said to you. Where are we with this? Let's look at some examples here. Just real quick, because time is slipping away here. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we see that this same peace was in a man by the name of Elisha. He and his servant were surrounded by the entire Syrian army, and they were going to destroy Elisha because he was telling the king of Israel what the king of Syria was saying in his bedchamber. And every time they went to attack Israel, Israel was ready and waiting for him. He thought he had a spy in his ranks. And he said, no. There's a prophet in Israel. He tells the king what you're saying in your bedchamber. Well, let's get him. So they're surrounding him. And Gehazi, his servant, said, "What are we going to do now?" You ever hear that? Let's bring it up to our time now. And the devil says, "What are you going to do now?" Does he ever talk to you like that, like he talks to me? As if I can do anything. You know, what I can do is defer to the Word of God and say, "Thank you, Lord, that I have your peace living big in me, living bigger than this problem, living bigger than anything I face, because we're going to face it together. You are my peace, and let's do this. In the name of Jesus, peace, be still." Yeah. Okay? So what happened is, where am I here? Oh, yeah. And 2 Kings 6, and Elisha said this in verse 16, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more that be with them." And he said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw the mountain filled, full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Do you know that you have a better covenant with God than Elisha had? Based on better promises? Do you know whose you are and whom you serve and all the power he is living big on the inside of you, the greater one, the one who's more than enough? Well, you don't know my problems. My problems are great. It doesn't matter. He's greater than that. Did Daniel walk in the peace of God? Look at this. And the king was tricked into signing a law that would condemn Daniel because he prayed. So the king had no choice. He had to condemn Daniel to the den of lions. And in verse 19, Daniel 6:19, it says, "And the king rose early in the morning." So the king gave commandment. But before that, the king gave the command and brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying, "Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you." Good word. Good word. Then in verse 19, then the king rose early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. Verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God." He was acknowledging this. "Servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Obviously he did, right? Verse 24, listen to this. Then, you see, the enemy tries to do all this stuff to corner you, to get you. But what happens is God's got a plan for the enemy. And it's demonstrated. Now, in the New Testament, our enemy is not people. Our enemy is demons, Satan, in the demonic realm. They're the ones who incite all this stuff. But then, in verse 24, and the king gave the commandment, and they brought those men that had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, and their children and their wives, and the lions overpowered them. Listen to this. And broke all their bones to pieces before they even hit the ground. God is a God of peace. Amen. And when you walk in peace, don't worry about what the devil's doing. Don't worry about the demons. If you need to cast them out, he'll tell you. People go out and say, "I've got a deliverance ministry." Well, every Christian does. If the devil gets in the way, you just cast him out. Yeah. That's the way Paul lived. I've seen people get in deliverance ministry, and they just, after about a couple of years, you see them later, and they're messed up unbelievably because they're focusing all on the devil. And they're not walking in God. You walk in God, God will take care of it. And he'll crush their bones before they even hit the ground. And you will be raised up and exalted like Daniel was, second most powerful man in Babylon, the king's right hand. Isn't that good? Why is peace so... It says this, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. You are mine." When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. The fire shall not burn you, neither will it even kindle a flame upon you. Remember the three Hebrew brothers? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? The fire didn't even kindle upon them. Do we have anything less in the New Testament?
No.
Do we? No, we've got the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. We have His life. We have the life of God. We have the faith of God. You know, I know that there's teaching saying God doesn't use faith. That is such bunk. You can't be in His presence for 1 second without having faith, being filled with it, because He uses faith to do everything. That's a doctrine of demons, to say that God doesn't use faith. Oh, are you kidding? And here's why they say because He knows everything. Knowledge and faith are two different things. Faith is a spiritual creative force. You can know something, but that doesn't mean you believe. I know people who memorize the Bible, they're total atheists. Don't believe a thing. Daniel was a believer. Oh, hallelujah. This is not something you just pull out of your sack and just try once in a while. This is a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle that is to maintain your being, that brings order to your life, that brings a holiness to your life, that brings a strength to your life, that the world. And it's like, there's too many religious ideas of what holiness is. Holiness is just living above. That's what holiness means. God, David thanked God at the remembrance of His holiness. Holiness means that you are above your creation. God is holy. He's above His creation. Sinlessness is a part of that. But as long as you have a flesh, you're going to have to deal with some stuff. And God's on your side, so He doesn't condemn you for falling. You know, He says, no, get up and believe in the blood. And let the blood cleanse you. And let Him establish and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'd do it. This is a lifestyle. What things are out of order in your life today? What do you need from God? What do you need to speak peace to in your life? What's troubling you? Are you speaking peace to it, or are you surrendering to the fear and letting the trouble into your heart? Really, this is real. This is where the rubber meets the road in Christianity. Are you speaking His word to it, or are you succumbing to it and letting that trouble rule your heart? Speak God's words. Peace, peace, peace. Start speaking to it. What does the Bible say? That's what Paul said. What does the Bible say? He was referring back to Deuteronomy. In Romans chapter 10, he says, what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of what? Faith. The word of faith. Faith and peace work together. Peace works through faith. Faith works through peace. And they all work through love. They work together. You're probably going to have to listen to tape because it's going a little too fast to take notes sometimes. The word of faith which we preach, Paul was a word of faith man, that if you shall confess, say with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in where?
Your heart.
Your heart, not in your head. This is not a mental thing. This is a spiritual, this is a force of the heart. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you should be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever shall believe on Him shall not be ashamed, or disappointed is a better word. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek or Gentile. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you again, what things are out of order in your life? What things do you need to bring in under the dominion of peace, His peace? What things? Number one, You know, you've been led around by these troubles for too long. Today's the day. And you know what? Today is the day of salvation, it says. Today is the day for everything. Because he is the God of the present. He's not God of the past. He's not God of, he's God of now. Amen? Now is the day of salvation. Number one, you need to know that you can speak to these things. That you, that the fact that Jesus did it and told and gave you an example for it licenses you to do it and authorizes you to do it. You are licensed and authorized to speak the words that he spoke. Settle it. You can speak these words. The Bible teaches Jesus spoke to a tree. He spoke to a tree. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. He spoke to demons. He spoke to Satan himself. He spoke to the storm. He spoke to the winds. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to the future. He spoke to the thief on the cross. You talk about a hopeless situation? Can you imagine the peace that came into that man when he said, "Today I tell you that you're going to be in paradise with me." All of his sin. And they didn't just crucify anybody. These are pretty grievous sinners, okay? Grievous, murdering violations, whatever. All of it gone. One word from Jesus and the peace of God. Calm the storm in his mind. You can speak the word of God and you can expect it to come to pass. Amen. You can receive it in your heart, believe it in your heart, and say it with your mouth and expect it to come to pass. And it will. That's number one. You can speak. Number two, it will obey you. Demons will obey you. Nature will obey you. Situations will obey you. It's all in the New Testament. We all have, we have evidence. And Psalm 103, verse 20, gives us an insight into the nature of demons. It says this, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." Angels have an angelic nature, right? Fallen angels are just that. They're fallen angels. And as such, they have to hearken to the voice of the word of God. Who speaks, who adds voice to the word of God in this world now? You, me, us. We are the voice that speaks the word of God that the devil has to bow his knee to. He has to obey you. He doesn't have a choice. He's a fallen angel. So if there's something demonic happening in your life, a demonic attack, that storm that was from Satan himself. Jesus said, "Speak to the mountain." Jesus said, "Speak to the tree, and it'll be plucked up by the root." The mountain. Now, these may be mountains and trees in your life that the devil planted or the devil put in the way or whatever, but you have the right to speak to them. Amen. You have been licensed and authorized to do it. Jesus said, Jesus said, "Your faith would obey you." We need to treat our faith as a servant. So who is the authority over your heart? You are. You are the authority over your heart. And when you have the peace of God ruling, you can keep the trouble out. You can keep the fear out. You can keep walking in love. Love will cast out the fear too. So you've got a lot of things working for you. You've got faith in your heart. You've got love in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You've got peace in your heart that calms storms and keeps the trouble out and keeps the fear out. You've got a fortress inside in the peace of God, and it's yours. Did that help today? You got help? Do you know the helper? If you don't know the helper, you need to come up after service and we'll pray for you, receive the Holy Spirit, and you'll have that power. You need to know that you can speak the word of God, and it will. And you need to know that it will obey you, and you need to know that it will not return empty. Let me just go over that real quick, and we're going to close. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. God means what he says. It shall not return to me void, but it'll accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing I sent it to. God's word will not return to him void. He is the word. He lives, that word lives in you. You speak his word, it will not return void. The word which he has gifted to us as a sword. The peace of God is a defensive force. It protected Jesus from getting thrown over a cliff or getting stoned, whatever. It's a defense. It's also offensive to speak to those storms and to release the power of God, kick it in. It'll diffuse lions. Any lions at the door? There could be a lion outside. Everything is in place with God. All we have to do is speak it. We'll get into the apostolic ministry of Jesus at the right hand of God right now, but at a certain time. But the word cannot return void. You have the right to expect it to come to pass. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it will not